And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are two members of the Silverbacks Improv Theater, Jason Pettijohn and Sarah Michaela Brown, here to talk about a couple different ways we can enjoy comedy. One, you all are starting kind of the Silverbacks Present series at Cité, and this Saturday you're presenting a troupe from Baton Rouge called the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe, and you all have lots of performances coming up as well. So let's talk just a bit about the Silverbacks Present. What was the idea behind doing that, sort of removing yourself from stage for a time and presenting somebody else?
Well, we have so many wonderful friends that we've made in the improv comedy world, especially throughout the Southeast, that we would love to be able to bring to Lafayette and let our audiences experience something different. They're so used to seeing the six of us do improv, and I hope they still enjoy it. But it's good to give them other opportunities as well. We've also been having increasing connectivity with the stand-up comedy scene locally. So we hope to probably explore that a little bit. And this secondary series also gives us the opportunity to do things that are a little more unusual and experiment and just connect with the community as much as possible.
I mean, we had talked a lot with different improv troupes around the area about doing all kinds of conglomerations, working together, doing duo shows and things like that. And this new bit offered the opportunity to present if we wanted, you know, anybody else from around the area. There are a couple of troupes in Mississippi that we've wanted to collaborate with. There's Family Dinner, which we've done a collaboration with them before. We hosted a festival in 2000. I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was a couple years ago, probably about 4 years ago. And they came down and they performed at Cité, and it was a lot of fun. And we also have the opportunity to, if we want to mix it up a bit, do something a little bit more experimental now. We have more opportunities to do different formats for improv now that we are working with Cité des Arts once a month.
Well, tell us about this particular troupe, the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe, for those of us who didn't have a chance to see them when they came the last time. How would you describe what is their particular focus and comedy?
They're goofy. They're fun. They're a lot of fun to watch. I've had one or two opportunities to watch them, and I know a couple of different people in our troupe have had more opportunities to go see them and work with them. They perform – if anybody is in Baton Rouge and wants to go see improv off the cuff – they perform at the Laser Tag in Baton Rouge every Friday at 9 p.m., I think. And it wasn't a far cry for them to come here and perform with us. We had talked about collaborating specifically with them before, and we finally had this opportunity. So they'll be coming down. I think for this particular one, Sarah and one of our other members, Steve, is going to perform a short duo in between, I think, their sets. But it's mostly going to be Family Dinner performing at this particular show.
Yeah, they'll be performing a short form improv, which is something that we do as well. It's where you get more of a game set up, and you get suggestions from the audience, and it can be somewhat competitive, high energy, really fun. I've also heard from them that they're going to be doing some musical games. So they'll be doing some improv with music, which I think is terrifying, but I'm excited to see them do it.
I concur. Musical games are my kryptonite. I cannot play those for anything.
So that's a major point of difference between the two groups. They do not fear music.
Yeah, I don't mind singing in improv, mm-hmm. but rhyming, that is my albatross.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about working with all kinds of different troupes. When you compare us with Family Dinner, Family Dinner is more akin to doing more rules-based games, where the fun of watching people go on stage and improvise is watching them try and work around these rules and work under the stress of these rules. Like for singing games, there is, you know, staying in key, there's rhyming, there's sticking with whatever subject matter they're given to sing about. And there are a couple other games like that where it's very much about watching these people go under the pressure of the rules. Silverback's Improv Theater is different in the sense that we've been pushing more narrative-based works recently. It's been more about developing one-act plays and doing more story-driven stuff. And the dynamic between us and Family Dinner is going to provide a lot of variety here at the improv scene in Lafayette.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I was going to ask and talk about your development as a group. I know you've changed your name. You're now the mm-hmm. Silverbacks, and you're performing twice a month sometimes. So you are shifting from these more, I guess, short audience-related, game-based improv sketches to narrative, something longer. How does that happen? Describe something that people would know about. What do you mean by that, narrative comedy?
Well, for example, last week, we had a show at Theater 810, which is our other regular show once a month. And it was our two-year anniversary as a troupe of this particular cast working together. And we performed a form called Deep Focus that we've developed, which is basically where we improvise a one-act play. In this particular style, we actually do it in costume, in a sort of 1950s or 1960s inspired costume. And it's kind of period. And this time, we kind of gave it like a noir kind of feel, like a film noir vibe. It was really a lot of fun. So I think for us, it's been about exploring what we were interested in as artists working together. And now that we've been together for so long, we really are so good about picking up each other's cues and knowing each other's strengths and playing off each other. So doing those improvised one-act plays is just a lot of fun for us. It is remarkable, too. I mean, after every show where we do one of these longer-based improvisations afterwards, you know, I have family members or friends that talk to me, and they're like, but I don't – did y'all really make it all up? Like, you didn't have anything to start from? You didn't have a framework? I'm like, no, it's improvised. It's 100% made up on the spot.
So if somebody in years to come wanted to say, well, can we see your work? There will be nothing written down.
Nope.
We have video evidence that it happened, but there's nothing. Okay. There's nothing from beforehand to suggest
so
that.
You don't sit down.
The only thing we have prepared beforehand is if we're doing anything besides a one act play, is the order of the games we're going to play. That's the only thing we have beforehand. We'll tape it to the walls. If somebody really wants a copy, then we'll hand it to them. But other than that, there's no evidence beforehand that we are going in with any idea what we're doing.
There's no script.
Absolutely not.
No. I have to tell people, of course, this is radio, so they can't see this, but whenever the Silverbacks or in your other manifestations are here, there's always a whole lot of smiling going on, like you're having secret private jokes.
I'd say every time we talk about games and different moments on stage, I'm sure that brings up a whole lot of like all the things that happened in the Deep Focus from last week.
Suddenly it's bubbling up in your head.
Yeah, there were a lot of fun moments, mm-hmm. A lot of good character work. We had a bird that was traumatizing this family couple, and they hired a hitman to try and get rid of them. In the meantime, there was this mob on the side that was trying to push confectionaries.
Yeah.
They have some weird circumstances, but they're all character driven, narrative driven. They're a lot of fun to watch, and we had some very good moments.
I know. I think what it is too is that we are just such geeks. We are just complete geeks about this stuff. Like, we love improv. So chance that we get to talk about it, we're just thrilled.
Well, that's it too. But you often get the sense, and you hear people say that about someone who's really good at plays on words or improv, mm-hmm. that their minds or their brains are wired differently, or they you know, the electrical impulses are somehow different. And sometimes I feel that when as we're talking, things are striking you in a very different way than it might the rest of us. You know, you see the possibility in a moment for comedy, mm-hmm. and that we don't. Like someone with some kind of infrared glasses on or something, you see the landscape in a different way.
Yeah.
You practice your wit and it becomes a part of you.
That's right. Exactly yes. Where I was going to go with that. Yeah, it's not that we have that innate ability. It's that we've been doing improv for 10 or 12 years. So it does open up that kind of part of your brain that just says, yes, and I accept and just react. Don't ask questions, just react.
Right. Well, I mean, that brings up an interesting point too, though, because you may not have a script, but you're not unprepared. You have been doing this for a very long time and practicing your wit, as you said.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's whenever people ask about how you prepare for improv, I keep telling them it's like a football practice or a basketball mm-hmm. practice. You don't know specifically what's going to happen during each game that's approaching, but there are a bunch of fundamentals you can work on that you can practice. You can develop a rapport with your teammates. You can work on the different rules or the different suggestions and guidelines you have in place so that whenever something unexpected comes up, you know how to treat that moment. You know how to react to that. You know how to use it. You know how to expand upon it. So it's not necessarily about scripting. It's about developing tools that you can use to react to whatever moment happens on stage. And there are a lot of weird things that are going to happen on stage, a lot of fun things, a lot of emotional things too. Whenever you get a good narrative-based improv group going, there are going to be a lot of emotional moments on stage. There are going to be a lot of moments that are completely out of left field, and you need trust and good chemistry between everybody to make sure those work and those become something that's enticing, something that the audience would enjoy.
So you're not walking into a void. I think that's what some people imagine. No. That you just walk onto this black space and it just comes out of nowhere.
That'll be some weird art piece.
That's right. People say how they're, I could never do improv. I could just never do improv. And
we couldn't either.
Yeah, we couldn't either.
We started out from nothing. Yeah. You have to practice. Nobody is born a great football player or basketball player. I mean, there might be some people who are – they might have some innate abilities that will lend them towards improv, but nobody's good at improv at the start. That's something you have to practice. Mm-hmm. Nobody's good at a sport right out. They have to practice some of the basics first.
Do you find that you practice? I mean, obviously you practice as a group. There's six of you in the Silverbacks. But daily, as you're going about what you do, working, studying, do you find yourself practicing as well? Do you work on situations? Do you react? Do you ever practice like that? Solo?
I don't think so, but I do notice my improv training, and I actually have – some of my friends will recognize this. Sometimes someone will say something and I just react like with a really, you know, like witty or really off-color joke, and then I'm like, I'm sorry, I have improv brain. Or like when I've just stopped improvising, I have a lot of those little like cha-cha, like throwing in a little witty retort. Sometimes I have to apologize for myself. I'm like, I'm sorry, I got improv brain right now.
Mm-hmm. I like taking jokes as far as possible and then bringing them back later after everybody's forgotten about them. So that's another thing. It's like you do a one-off comment and nobody ever visits again, but I found that I've decided to explore a joke as far as it can possibly go until people get sick of it.
You've heard it, folks. Jason Pettishaw's way of practicing. Or do you find when you're just during the day and you see two people talking, do you often get an idea for because you said relationships are very important in improv. I mean, even I'm not trained in it, but sometimes you'll happen to hear a person sitting at the table next to you or somewhere, and it's quite funny actually if it was taken out of context. You know, I mean, does your brain start working if you hear little snippets of conversation?
That's actually recommended improv practice. A couple of books will say to go people watch. A couple of acting studios will do that too, or acting companies will suggest going out and people watching. If you do hear a funny comment, think about a context where it would make sense. Try and justify, I guess, why people are doing what they're doing. But you have to be out there, go listen to people, go watch people, and try and create context for them. It's a fun little improv exercise. And anybody who's an actor, I would suggest doing that too, because that's a character pool you can reach into from that moment onward. You have that.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, my guests are members of the Silverbacks Improv Theater, and they have begun to expand their offerings to us here in this community. They will have performances twice a month and sometimes present troupes from other areas as well, as they will this Saturday at Cité des Arts. It's a group called the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe that will be performing during Second Saturday Art Walk, and that starts around 7:30.
Yes.
So Jason mentioned that you and maybe a couple others will be performing with them, or you'll just do kind of something in between?
Yeah, we're going to have three of our Silverbacks there, and we're going to open for them and kind of set the stage, warm up the crowd for them, welcome them on stage. And then at the end, we're going to blend our two troupes and play together just as a grand finale.
So the entire troupe will come in at the end, or will it just be a handful?
It'll be a handful of us, yeah. We have belly dancers and pirate singers in our troop.
we're spread kind of thin.
Yeah, because we have a very ambitious group.
And we were discussing that's one of the good one of the benefits of having the Silverbacks Presents bit is if not all of us can make it, usually we'll have somebody lined up off to the side. And we've been saying we want to do these collaborations, and you know, it's not necessary that every member of the Silverbacks improv troupe comes to all these performances, because one of the ideas is we want to present other talents. We want to present other – and not even improv. as Sarah said earlier, there is this rapport we've been building with stand-up comedians. If we want to feature them too, then we can have a night where Silverbacks presents stand-up comedy from around Lafayette or the surrounding areas. So it's not – it's more like a platform we set for different talents as well as ourselves – and less so just a show featuring Silverbacks. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful opportunity that Cité has presented to us.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but this is your second year, as you said. Mm-hmm. You all have been working and developing your talents within this community. How do you see this developing? You talked about having evenings where you do more narrative, a longer form. Do you also continue to have themed shows? I know that you have had several themed shows.
Yes. Yeah. We love themed shows.
Yeah, we're trying to pull back from that a little bit. Sometimes we'll get kind of like what we would call like in our head about it with the themes because we love it. But, you know, just straight up simple improv is something that we want to make sure that we're still having on offer as well. Yeah, we're just having a great time. And we'll notice like some aspect that we want to work on, like for our next show at Theater 810 at the end of the month that Jason is actually directing. We take turns directing.
You have a director.
Yeah.
We're a collective.
Around. Yeah. We're like an idyllic Greek society. But so Jason.
He just got an idea for the next thing.
So Jason is directing at the end of the month, and we watched our tapes, and we noticed that, you know, we could cut some of our scenes a little shorter. Like, we could be snappier, and so we're going to work on that. So it's that kind of thing.
Not only do you have these little means to help you practice, but you have a director for each show, and you mm-hmm. actually watch the outtakes from mm-hmm. it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You work very hard at that.
Yeah.
Now, what does a director do in improv? What is your role?
It's a little unconventional in our realm because we're all experienced and we all have a general idea of where we want to take this troupe. But if you go to other improv troupes, the director will usually teach fundamentals, run rehearsals, run workshops, set up shows, will take notes on each show, present the notes, and work with each individual improviser to try and get them up to their full potential. Now, none of us was really more experienced than the other. There's a little bit of a gap. Rick and I are the youngest. I think we've been doing improv for about 8 years now. But it wasn't to the point where we thought that any one person in our troupe ought to be the clear director, so we just decided to take turns. Now, what it usually amounts to in our troupe is that this person will set either the theme or the games list or the gimmick for whatever show is coming up. They'll run rehearsals beforehand to work on techniques that they think we ought to work on for our next show, and that's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all six of us have something different to offer, a strength, you know.
Maybe mention the six.
Mm-hmm. We've been sure. talking about. Sure. I'm Sarah Michaela Brown. On the radio with me today is Jason Pettijohn.
Hello.
We have Steve Benelli, Elaine Kibido, Nico Zahnbrecher, and Rick Manuel.
Yes, we also have a musician,
yes.
An improvised musician, Andrew Lee, who comes to all of our shows and improvises all of our soundtracks with us, which has been a lot of fun.
And how does he do that? Does he play on an instrument or it's electronic?
He'll usually bring just a piano. Sometimes mm-hmm. he'll bring another instrument or two. He's been bringing a fiddle lately on the side, which has been pretty cool. But mostly he's just on piano. He'll use different sound synths from his keyboard and he'll improvise different melodic tones and
and what has that done for you all as a group, having music, improvised music?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it really is like another character or a performer on stage because he can insert a tone into a scene, like pick up on something that we're putting out or insert something that maybe we weren't putting out and then we pick up on it.
And tones mm-hmm. can be quite funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've used him outright for different things before. We've done a soap opera show where we've had a whole bunch of different characters who go through all the soap opera tropes, like the big character reveal that I've been sleeping with your sister out. Yeah. And one of the ways we would cut the scenes is if our musician, Andrew, found that should be a good plot twist or that would be a nice soap opera plot twist, he would hit the organ and that would cut to the next scene. which has been pretty fun. We also used him extensively in our Deep Focus show from last week. We actually used him and we brought in a bassist and a drummer, and we had a full jazz trio. Mm-hmm. And that added a lot. That added a lot to the tone of the entire show.
Mm-hmm. To the comedy of it or the emotional feel?
To the emotional feel. Sometimes it's a nice dichotomy whenever you have this incredibly ridiculous situation on top of this dramatic music. But
I think it added to the smoothness.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is it helps us keep the tone consistent throughout the entire show.
Smooths out the edges and fills in the gaps.
There's nothing jarring that's being thrown at you as far as tone goes.
So the Silverbacks Improv Theater, using also music as well. Now, you said kind of an unusual thing. You said, when I asked if all the troupe would be there on Saturday, you said, well, some of them are belly dancers, some are pirates. Are those their other jobs?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just have an exceptionally ambitious group of people that have come together.
And they're involved in other forms of entertainment.
They're involved in all sorts of other entertainment. I mean, theater and, you know, comedy and dance and just all sorts of things.
Are you the pirate, Jason?
I am not the pirate. That's Steve.
Steve is the pirate. Steve. Elaine's a belly dancer.
Yeah, Steve will be there this weekend. There are not any pirate goings-ons. He was with a pirate band called Whiskey Bay Rovers.
Oh, okay.
They play a lot of gigs around the area. What I think they mostly concentrate on is the Louisiana Renaissance Fest. I know they go there for the entire time. They'll go 4 weekends out of the year.
So they actually play kind of like pirate music and dress as pirates. And
They dress as pirates. Right. They sing old pirate shanties. Yeah, it's pretty cool. They even have an album out, so they've apparently been successful. Elaine's a belly dancer, so she's been doing all kinds of stuff related to that. And she's also in theater work. Rick's in theater work as well. I used to do a lot of theater work, but I dropped out of that so I can concentrate on Silverbacks and doing all the promotional art for that.
Yeah, Nico's an educator.
Such rich depths of talent in our community and just in your small group.
Thank
well,
you.
How can people keep up with what the Silverbacks are doing?
Well, I tell you, it's an endeavor, right, just to keep up. But they can find us. We have a new website, which is beautiful. I'm very proud of it. It's silverbacksimprov.com. Or they can find us on Facebook, Silverbacks Improv Theater, I think is our—
Do you all post photos of some of your shows?
Yes.
We do. We always do an event invite on Facebook for our shows. But yeah, basically Facebook or the web is the best place. Or you can always call up Cité des Arts or Theater A10. They'll know when our next shows are.
Yeah, and we have a lot of info to post online. We keep track of all of our events coming up. We post clips from all of our past shows if anybody wants to see what they're getting into before they actually pay for a ticket.
And you post those on the website and on Facebook?
We post those everywhere. We have a YouTube page, but it'll go to both Facebook and onto our website. We do have photos, too. You can RSVP with us. You can send messages to us, whatever you want to do.
But we
post a lot of info on our pages. So if anybody wants to keep up, just like us on Facebook or subscribe to us on the web.
Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to briefly mention just how blessed I feel to be able to do this. And we have consistent audiences coming up and letting us do this for them. And they seem to like it. And it's wonderful. And we were actually just recently nominated, I guess, a finalist for the Best of Acadiana in Best Live Performance. So we are just over the moon about that.
Woo-hoo! Well,
yeah.
Especially considering how large and varied that category
is.
Performance in Lafayette right now is that's a full field.
Yeah, against some other music acts too. Mm-hmm,
So that means people can vote for you?
Yeah, they can vote for us in the Best of Acadiana contest.
Okay, well, that's the Silverbacks, and you can find out more, through their website or the Facebook page. You'll be encouraging people.
And the next opportunity to see us is Saturday night at 7:30.
All right, and you will be with the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe for this Saturday, but you have another performance coming up towards the end of May?
Yes, May 21st, and that is at Theater 810.
And is there a theme? What are you going to be doing for that evening that is just Silverbacks?
Tentative. We'll probably be doing a duo show where we just pair up a whole bunch of people. That's still tentative, though, so I'm not going to put that in stone. The director here still doesn't quite know what we're going to do yet, but we'll have that worked out in the next couple of days.
All right. So that's on May 21st at Theater 810. So you alternate beginning of the month Art Walk is at Cité.
Yes.
And then the second show is at Theater 810.
Yeah, generally speaking, one of the last Wednesdays of the month at Theater 810.
Okay. Anything we should look for in the summertime? You have any special shows, or does that schedule change in the summer?
Schedule's going to be the same. Okay. Theater 810 show close to the end of the month, Cité des Arts show on the first Art Walk of every month. If anybody wants specific dates, we will have those on our website. And I think we're going to be sending out a press release soon with all of our dates to all the different media I can't find the word.
Organizations.
That's it. That's what I wanted.
Media outlets. Well, perfect. Well, we'll be announcing that. People can find out more from here. Or, again, you're on all platforms, social media platforms.
You can't avoid the Silverbacks. It's like you can try to not come see a Silverback show, but chances are we're just going to show up at some event that you're going to and you can't help it.
We're omnipresent.
Right. You're omnipresent. Okay, on the prowl with the Silverbacks. Again, my guests are Jason Pettijohn and Sarah Michaela Brown, both with the Silverbacks Improv Theater. This Saturday at Cité, 7:30, they will be joining the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe. Thank you both.
Thank you,
Judith.